You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you. Don't forget, folks, to tune into an all-new Inside the Cleveland Browns tonight at 7 p.m. on Sports Time Ohio. Looking live at the Cleveland Browns players on and off the field. That's tonight at 7 on Sports Time Ohio. We have a great one-on-one interview with Alex Mack talking about salute to service and what that means to him. So you definitely want to check that out. We're going to dip into the mailbag in just a second, but let's get back to the phones right now. Chevy in New Jersey, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, guys. I've got a comment, and then I want to get my midseason grade. My comment is that this is really Brian Hoyer evolving as a young man, a young player, and this is a huge test for him because it's the kind of game that really is a little tough for him with the big blitz coming. If he can knock this off his checklist, Brian Hoyer becomes a very complete weapon for the Cleveland Browns. Now, my midseason grade.
Okay.
You guys get an A+. That interview with Rod Woodson yesterday was amazing.
Thank you.
The way you guys are handling this championship team, the way you guys are stepping up, you're real true champions, just like the Browns. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Chevy, our
that
guy.
Feels good.
That's good. That does feel nice.
We give him love, he gives it back.
That's right. That's what you got to do in
this
world.
That's how we do around here, man.
Kindness.
We take our callers. We love on our callers.
We love them.
We appreciate them. You guys make our show.
That's true. I love that people call in, and especially the regulars. We're getting a pretty good crew of regulars calling in, and it's great. It's nice to have you guys part of the CBD family. Let's go out to Al in Mansfield now. Al, welcome to the show.
Yeah, just hoping this weekend's as fun for Browns and Buckeyes fans as last weekend.
Dang right.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Do you know if Clowney is going to play? And second thing, is it possible to run right at J.J. Watt and offset some of that aggressiveness?
I'll hang up and listen. Sure, he's number two in the league in run stops at his position, behind only Muhammad Wilkerson, who's considered one of the best. There are no holes in J.J. Watt's game. This is not a pass rusher that you can run at to slow down. There aren't holes in his game. He is as good as it gets, and it's a tall challenge for the Cleveland Browns, but that's going to be okay. I think that, you know, Joel Bitonio's played well. I think he'll be up to the challenge, and hopefully, you know, he can do the best you can do against J.J. Watt. You can't stop J.J. Watt. You just need to limit him from making game-changing plays.
Correct, and what Cleveland can do, which I'm sure they're doing today, is they're going to give J.J. Watt different looks so that we can do our very best to slow him down by about a half a step or a step. And so what does that mean? That means, again, as I said, with, you know, Tate or Crowell or West, you know, aligned, if it happens to be shotgun, he's going to be to, you know, the offensive left so that he can help Bitonio in that gap. What does that mean as well for Joe Thomas? That means Joe Thomas is going to be one-on-one with Jadeveon Clowney if he is, in fact, healthy and playing, and or Brooks Reed, who's also a productive football player out of the University of Arizona. So, and that those, again, those are matchups that I like against Joe Thomas. Then also, too, what we might do, as we've seen Green Bay do, and I know we've done it in Kyle Shanahan's offense as well, is, you know, we back off that tight end, you know, Bardage, Cameron, or Dre in that short motion, and then they stop in, at, or around that B gap. And so that means Joel Bitonio knows he has immediate outside help.
That's right.
From a passing standpoint. And therefore, to Chevy's point, is we could also use Dre or Barnage in this case as a lead blocker to guarantee that we get a double on Watt. How does that work for the defense? That means there's a free hitter somewhere in that defense, and we're going to run away from that hitter or deviate away from him as best we can, or maybe break off of him. So, again, I like West versus a Cushing on one knee. I like Crowell against Cushing on one knee in the hole. I like Ben Tate. You know, hate to say him last in this case, but I like him versus a Cushing, you know, on one knee as well. So there's little things like that. And the more looks that you give him, the more you slow him down because he's getting hit from one side. He's getting hit from another. You know, he's getting hit by two guys. He's getting hit from one. You slow him down a half a step. That's the difference between Brian Hoyer getting rid of the ball, you know, on time or in a hurry. And we know, you know, his inaccuracy when he's hurried, very similar to the way he was in the Jacksonville game.
Every quarterback certainly struggles when they are under duress. There's no question about that. And you know, it's interesting. You played with Ryan Pickett, certainly in Green Bay before that as well, before he came into the league. Ryan Pickett, at this stage in his career, is this a guy that he doesn't command a double team anymore, right?
He will take a double team
because he's so much
space. But you'll double team. You'll double off of him very easily. That means, you know, Greco getting off of McDonald's double, you know, up to a linebacker, or Betonio, you know, off of double up. He's a space filler. I don't even think that Ishmaili Kitchen might be our closest. And Ishmaili Kitchen is J.J. Watt compared to Ryan Pickett. Athletically,
yeah.
So, but he's our best, you know, personnel wise, similarity to Ryan Pickett. Ryan Pickett is there to eat up two people and grab on to let those linebackers run free.
And hopefully, they will not be able to do that. All right, we're gonna go into the mailbag now here on this Mailbag Wednesday. Emmett, you want to hop into those, or you want me to just read some off my time?
Sure. I got a couple here. How about Matt? Matt wants to know, why is Tate not the primary back after signing a big contract?
Because I think in the NFL, it is what I would call a meritocracy ultimately at the end. People are going to get chances because of contracts and because of draft spot. But ultimately, I believe the coaches have decided that this team has the best chance to win with the younger guys, West and Crowell. Now, Tate has his value, but I think they like the idea of mixing in multiple backs, and they obviously like the fresher legs, I think, of what they're seeing from Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah, cash does not rule everything around here.
Cream get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. All right, what's next, Emmett?
All right, we got Kyle. He wants to know, do you see the Browns winning more than 10 games this year?
For me personally, I think they're going to be on the cusp. I've tuned into parts of the really big show this morning, and that was part of Tony Rizzo's questions. You know, how many wins are the Browns gonna? How many wins will they have when the season is over? And I picked them going 4-3, and I think that is a very optimistic way to think that they get to double digits, which by far and away exceeds everybody's expectations of their football season. And I do feel, because of the parity in the AFC North, that it has to be the right wins out of these last seven, which guarantee us a playoff spot and winning that division. But otherwise, I think 11 is also within reason, but I wouldn't exceed 11.
I think 10 is, if the Browns get to 10, I'll be thrilled. And that's 4-3 the rest of the way. I think that certainly is where we're at. I don't know if I see them winning more than 10 games, but I think right now I do see them winning 10 games. I think as we laid out the schedule, 4-3 over the final seven, but it starts with this one. Got to get this game right now against this Houston Texans team, and the Browns are going to come into it a little bit banged up, and that's okay. We'll find out what, you know, as the week goes on, we'll find out about Deshaun Gibson. We'll find out about Jordan Cameron. We'll find out about Nick McDonald, but everybody else hopefully will be able to go Johnson Badamosi. But right now, you need to figure out, you know, a way to win this game, even if you aren't at quite 100%.
All right, and next up, we got F.A. Jr. He wants to know, will Jordan Cameron go this Sunday, and do you two agree that no return game equals no deep playoff run?
Jordan Cameron, as we've said, as we spoke briefly about the concussion protocol, is he's, I would think, as the days go by, and this is coming from someone who's had concussions, multiple concussions, not in the same vicinity, I would say, of a time frame that Jordan Cameron has, but every single day, I'm sure he gets better. And the symptoms that he is struggling with, whether it be headaches or sensitivity to light, or not sleeping well, or, you know, vomiting, I believe is one of them as well. They're getting better by the day, but until that baseline test is met, he will continue to miss football games. And then, moving forward, this
The return game is an interesting one. I don't think it means no deep playoff run. I do think the Browns need to address this. I still will go, as I do, bang the table for my favorite undrafted free agent rookies. Not Isaiah Crowell in this case, but I think Taylor Gabriel, I'd love to see him get a shot. I thought he did a good job in the kick return game when given an opportunity. I'd like to see him get a shot in the punt return game. I don't think no return game equals no deep playoff run, but I think a return game that continually costs this team points could equal no deep playoff run. That Jim Leonard one against Cincinnati had an opportunity to swing the momentum, and you can't have that. Just right now, I'm back to even where you are. You just fair catch everything. That's fine with me. Just catch the ball and don't turn it over. Don't let it be a negative. Doesn't have to be a positive. Don't let it be a negative.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is a return game will not keep us from the playoffs or keep us from making headway in the playoffs, but mistakes on special teams will cost us games, which could be potentially a playoff game. Or also, too, is we could be in a situation where we're in a playoff game and we're winning a playoff game, and a mistake on special teams can cost us because the smallest mistakes in the playoffs are magnified because every single snap is so important towards the end result, which is winning a playoff game.
Exactly. All right, when we come back here, thanks for the great mailbag questions. Thanks for your calls. When we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we'll check in with the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, with his Wednesday presser to the media. That's coming up next here on CBD. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm with you up till 2 o'clock. And then Michael Regild, hop in for me and take you home, ladies and gentlemen.